I have not with me in the station, but on air via telephone, our very own Michelle Miller of the Two Harbors Area Food Shelf. Michelle, thank you for calling in. It's strange to not have you in here with me, but I'm glad you're calling in.
I know. It's like I was all bundled up, ready to walk in, and then I'm like, you know, this really doesn't make sense to be 2 inches away from you when we're trying to distance ourselves. So I appreciate you having me on the line.
Yeah, and isn't it just show that, I mean, I just think radio has an amazing place to play in this day and age, with our ability to have a conversation that many, many people can hear without anyone getting very close to anyone else.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Yes. Community radio, way to go.
Way to go. And we will continue to be a source of information and also conversation that we may all crave in a few weeks. All right, let's start with, we've heard a lot about the economic repercussions of closing things down. People are concerned. What can you tell us about the Two Harbors Area Food Shelf and what services it's providing right now?
Right. We are dedicated to stay available with our services on our regular scheduled distribution days. So those are Tuesdays from 10 a.m. until 3:45 p.m. And we have incorporated a curbside pickup. We started that last Tuesday, and it went extremely smooth. What we do is the building itself, the AOA building that we're housed in, is closed to the public, and the majority of volunteers stay inside and are doing the behind-the-scenes work, and we just have limited contact as we are bringing the food out. So what we're doing is pre-packaging all of the food, and these are not emergency boxes like we have had implemented for years. It's the full shopping experience. It's just that we are packaging it up now. So customers will receive fresh produce, dairy, meats, and, of course, all of the non-perishables. So that is curbside pickup. We ask that customers stay in their vehicles, and then once we unload everything, we go in, do a nice hand washing, and wipe down the carts, and do the next customer.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's no different than, and probably cleaner than, a regular grocery store. I mean, it's all relative here, so I think it's
right.
Clear.
And we're 100% of our volunteers and staff that have direct contact with food and with customers, we're all ServSafe certified, food handling certified through the USDA, and we've had, you know, regulated cleaning protocol since day one. You know, that's just how we operate our business, because we are handling food. So, you know, we've amped it up a little bit more, but we've always been very cognizant of the safety, you know, in that respect. So,
yes.
And with the curbside pickup, Katya, I want to just share that there's no appointments necessary. It's regular shopping. If you're, you know, come on in and you just drive up. We have cones sitting there, so you know where to pull up, and we just bring the food right out to you. And what's really great, one of the organizations that we are a member of is the Minnesota Hunger Solutions.
Yeah.
And they are they're our lobbyists at the legislature for us, and they also provide funding and resources and support food shelves in the state of Minnesota. And they work closely with TFAB, which is the Emergency Food and Assistance Program,
mm-hmm.
which is a federal program that it used to be called Commodities. So we receive a large majority of our food and items through the TFAB program, and they are the ones that regulate, like, our paperwork and the guidelines and a lot of the safety protocol that we do as well. An example would be, you know, keep your food 6 inches off the floor, you know, put it on pallets and stuff. So mm-hmm. those are the kinds of regulations I'm talking about. And how, and also with the paperwork and the guidelines and eligibility, they have lifted all of those guidelines for the time being. Hmm. So there's no proof of income. It's always been self-reporting anyway.
I see. Yes, yes.
Right. And, you know, we don't check pay stubs or anything like that. It was more just information gathering where individuals, information wasn't directly attached to them. It was just for reporting purposes.
Right.
However, during this time, they have lifted all of those guidelines. And so you don't need to worry about eligibility or that it's open to everyone. They lightly said that income is in the last week versus the last month. And as I said, we don't verify that anyway. So
yeah.
So that makes it really super slick.
Yeah.
When a customer pulls up, we will give you a clipboard, and all we really need is a name, a signature, and a date, and a household size, if you want to provide that, just so that, again, we can continue to have this data.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very simple process. I believe we probably had people in and, you know, once they pulled up, it was in and out in like 3 minutes. So...
And I believe you can, if you can't make it, you can send someone for you?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's called a proxy. And we're not even checking that. Usually there's a form and you need to sign it and say that, yes, so-and-so gives me permission to pick this up under my name. That's null and void for right now. It's basically if you pull up, you're going to receive about 70 pounds of groceries. And I don't know how to equate that, but yeah. It generally lasts about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So 70 pounds of groceries, you know, depending if it's not perishable. So
right, and if you don't need it all, you can always share it around. I know that so many people, when I have worked there, you know, they want to make sure they don't take more than they need. And
right.
So this way you do get your full box, but... you can always share it if you don't need
right.
it all.
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up because that was a note I had as well, that yes, it is prepackaged. That's a little different, you know, with dietary needs and with storage and with likes and dislikes, that we do encourage customers to share any items that they're not going to use because we have implemented a do not return. Regular times, you know, if you receive something that, you know, I just am not going to use this, here's your rice back.
Yeah.
Where once it leaves our building, for obvious reasons, we're not going to accept it back.
Okay.
So
yep.
Please share it, and yeah.
Wonderful. So, Michelle, let's talk a little bit about the bigger picture here. Sure, I know there's got to be a lot of activity from people on your end as the almost in anticipation of greater food needs coming up. How are you preparing, and do you see ourselves being able to handle this?
Yeah, that's a great question and a pretty loaded question.
I know. I kind of did lay it all on you there, Michelle.
Right. And I am in contact with many of our partners and funders and volunteers and local donors just on a daily basis. I'm just inundated with conversations, which is fabulous, to keep the information and the communication open. And so right now, as the immediate need, we're doing okay. However, a couple of our major sources of acquiring food are limited as well because there's such an influx
right.
of, you know, that this is impacting everyone.
Right.
We served almost twice as many families this week on Tuesday than we usually do at this time of the month.
Hmm.
And so we were down to like our last two cans of green beans.
Hmm.
Right. So, you know, I'm getting on the phone,
right.
calling Second Harvest, talking to Super One, and they're limited as well, but we were able to schedule a emergency pickup at Second Harvest on Monday. So we're getting two truckloads of those items that we're low on. And so for the immediate need,
yeah.
we'll be okay.
Yeah.
However, I see this being a more long-term effect.
Yeah.
That you know, okay, yep, all the restrictions have been lifted, everyone back to usual, but for those who have been off of work for a week or two or need to stay home with a sick individual, you're still losing income. So I can see this ripple effect lasting for months, really.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when all the energy of the right now has calmed down, we're still going to see those effects.
Right. So people should be aware of ongoing needs. And I mean, I like to think, you know, Two Harbors has historically always stepped up to the plate. I know that there was our Music to Feed the Soul that was canceled, a big fundraiser for you. Are you getting donations in lieu of your standard fundraisers, or how do you want people to do that?
Oh, my goodness, Katya. This community, this is really super hard for me because I'm a hugger.
Oh, and all I know.
And all of the great donations and support and people giving their time and really wanting to be here, and I can't hug people to thank them. I'm about ready to explode. But but anyway, to answer your question, yes, people are really stepping up, and a great thing, you know, money is always the best, because then we can truly put that where we need it. However, as I said, with the canned vegetables, we don't really have too much access, and most of the listeners probably, you know, are shopping at the same places I'm trying to.
Right.
So, but that's kind of twofold, is that if you're able to access that, I've put a tub outside the food shelf door with a big sign so that it can be dropped off, and I ask by 4 o'clock so that it's not staying in there overnight, because I'm generally there until 4.
Okay.
But, or to call ahead if you have specific items. Because, again, I want to eliminate as much, like, touching and transferring of things. But we will gladly accept those donations. We just need to be thoughtful about how we're doing it.
Yeah.
And as I said, that financially, you know, we can store this easier money and utilize it down the road as we're seeing, you know, a gap in our funding.
Right.
And a really great thing I just found out yesterday, on our website, our donation page is run by Give Min Minnesota.
Yep.
It's a nonprofit that supports the Give to the Max Day and many other things. And so our donate button is run through Give Min. And they just put out a notice yesterday that all online donations for the time being, they are waiving the processing fee.
Wow.
So, right. So that money, and they're a nonprofit as well.
They are.
Like, they're
going
to feel, right, they're going to feel the impact, but they feel that this is more important to put that money right back into nonprofits. So to know that if you go online, your donation, 100% of it, is going to go to where you allocate it to.
Wow, that is pretty cool. That there are just so many ways in which people are stepping up to the plate. I almost feel like it's heartening to know that, like other people of other times, we are capable of pulling it together and really figuring out what are the highest level of needs and prioritizing that. So
right, and people are being super duper creative. One of our local residents, small business owners, musician, Tracy Parks, is a Pampered Chef consultant. And that organization or that business has always worked with Feeding America to give a percentage of sales to the larger food banks, which we're a member of.
Yeah.
However, she just started last night a specific fundraiser for the Two Harbors Area Food Shelf.
Mm.
So if you're online, go to our Facebook page. And I just shared it, so you can. This is win-win-win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Donations, percentage of that goes to the food shelf. It's supporting one of our local business entrepreneurs. And you receive, you can purchase something really super cool since you're going to be in your house here for the next couple weeks. You know, grab some recipes and purchase some things to help you cook.
Right.
So, yeah, it's win-win-win for everybody. So that's just one of the examples. And then our Culver's here in town has totally stepped up to the plate and reached out to me. And they are ordering additional produce and dairy items on their trucks on Tuesdays. Hmm. And this Tuesday, they dropped off over 700 pounds of food for us.
Really?
Right?
Wow.
And then they also donated certificates for kids' meals. So any families coming through, we provide certificates for kids' meals as well.
Wow.
So it's just amazing that, you know, how people are just stepping up and, yeah. And I'm sure it's on a lot of people's minds, okay, how can I help? I want to volunteer. And we're trying to limit the number of people at any given time actually in the building.
Yeah.
We've really scaled back, you know, just to really to provide at least some kind of control.
Right. Well, that's
right.
What we're being, it's being asked of us, so yes.
Right, right. And however, please call and contact us at 218-391-8191, and we can come up with a plan of how you can support the food shelf in a safe, efficient way that's going to make the most impact. We have asked all of our at-risk volunteers, or if they live in a household with someone who is compromised, to don't feel guilty, don't feel obligated. Please keep your family safe.
Right.
And it worked this week. I mean, we only have one round to guide us by. But you know,
yep.
I want to just say that you may have heard, and it's been in the paper, that Two Harbors Area Food Shelf is celebrating our 5-year anniversary of being our own 501c3 business. And there's, you know, a lot of benefits, and there's whole reasons behind how this happened, that we aren't under the umbrella of another fiscal agent or operating board of directors. And so in these last 5 years, we've really been able to position ourselves, and we have policies and procedures and staff dedicated to certain areas of running a business. And so, you know, the timing of this, if there ever is a good timing, that, you know, we're prepared.
Yes.
And we have the resources, you know, to address this situation. So, because so many food shelves are run by volunteers that do an awesome job and aren't prepared to handle such a crisis at this level of all of the outreach that has to happen and all of the communication and, you know, to set up this plan.
And the infrastructure and the transportation and all the things that feed into it. Yes.
Right, exactly. So I feel really fortunate that, you know, that we have that foundation here at the Two Harbors Area Food Shelf. And, you know, again, that the community is, you know, so aware of what we do and aware of the assistance that we need. So that's really super cool.
Yeah, it's been great to talk to you, Michelle. And it seems like what we're hearing is things are really going along fine. And the main thing is to keep it in line for the long haul. We cannot forget about the food shelf as this continues to, as whatever happens, you know, in the next few months happens. So we will just keep you in the loop, and you will keep us in the loop, and Two Harborites will rise to the challenge.
and they already have. Everyone already has. And if you are online, please visit. Facebook is going to be the most immediate source of what's happening. And then we do post on our website right on the front page and all of that information. And then the outgoing message on the phone is pretty current as well. So we are, you know, being very proactive and keeping everyone informed as much as possible. So, and our board of directors are really involved in this process. And so all of our meetings and, you know, contact things have been canceled for now, but we are in contact via, you know, email and phone. So there's a lot of behind the scenes work here happening, and it's basically to fulfill our mission, we need to feed people. And that's what, as long as we are able, that's what we're going to do, Katya.
All right. I'm speaking with Michelle Miller, the director of the Two Harbors Area Food Shelf, an entity of which we are so proud and which you have really grown and developed over the years for just such a time as this. So thank you so much, Michelle, for this interview, but also thank you for everything you do every day.
Well, thank you, Katya.
All right. That was Michelle Miller.